You're listening to Treasuring Mothers with your host, Jenny Baxter.
And today I have on the line a guest from Toowoomba in Queensland. It's Dana Stevens. Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jenny?
Yeah, I'm okay. You've got two kids. What was it like for you? How have you gone with your journey before motherhood to motherhood? That's always such a big transition, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. Ours is a very interesting story. Very briefly, we were told we couldn't have kids. Our son Lachlan is an IVF baby, and then we had another two failed IVFs, and then we fell pregnant with our third IVF, and we miscarried at about 8 weeks. And then 6 weeks later, I was pregnant with our miracle Lily. The doctors called it a medical anomaly. We called it a miracle. We were told we'd have a 3% chance of falling pregnant naturally. So our two children are very much a blessing. And we're older parents because of all of our journey that we've been on. Yeah. It's been,
It's such an up and down time doing our
business. Yeah.
It's very
motherhood has been interesting.
Yes, that's right. So beyond the falling pregnant, there were other things that you struggle with?
I struggled really badly with depression during pregnancy with Lachlan. And that carried over, and I had postnatal depression with both.
Yeah, that's actually quite common. I had prenatal depression too. You don't hear about it, but it does happen.
No, and like it was really weird because I just couldn't get happy. I was crying all the time, and my husband Jason didn't know what to do. And I felt when they made me do the test, and they called me in straight away, and they said, "You're depressed, and we want you to see a psychologist straight away." And I felt like a failure. I was like, you know, this was a wanted baby. This was such a long journey for us, and why was I depressed? It's been a hard slog. But parenting is a journey, and parenting is a learning journey constantly.
No doubt about that. How has your faith journey been and all that?
It's been hard. I really struggled with everybody else falling pregnant, and I was angry at God, and I could pray for other people to fall pregnant, you know, like ones that were on similar journeys. I didn't have the faith for me. And I couldn't. And we actually had to have a very tight-knit circle of people around us praying and believing for us because I couldn't. I just couldn't. I couldn't. I didn't have the faith and the capacity to think God would bless us that way. And both my pregnancies, apart from the depression, both my pregnancies were a breeze up until the last 10 weeks of each of them. Lockie was breech posterior. And I had to have an emergency Caesar, and I actually have a condition. I have an abnormal bone structure, which means they were unsure whether or not they could give me a spinal block for a Caesar. So at 36 weeks, I was having an MRI, which is not the dumb thing with pregnant women. And he was born by Caesar, and then I wanted to try and have a normal birth for Lily, but my Caesar scar tissue was too thin, so I was told I was high risk, that if I went into labour naturally, it could rupture. It also found that she was transverse posterior, and she had basically the cord was right on the bottom, so had I gone into labour with her, I would have been in a lot of trouble. I was actually hospitalised 3 days before for scheduled Caesar because I was extremely high risk. And, you know, when the doctor tells you and the nurses tell you when they take you into hospital, like I had my last checkup and he sort of said, "You're going into hospital now." And I said, "I'm not ready to." He goes, "No, you need to go in now. We need to monitor you for, until you have your baby."
Yeah, you don't expect that at 36 weeks, was it? 37 weeks?
I was 37 weeks with her, and he said, "You've got till 5:00. Like, I had my appointment at 2:00. He said, "You've got till 5:00 to get in there." And so that was not something that I'd thought about. And then when, you know, you get into hospital and the nurse tells you, "Okay, you're in the room you're in because you've got extra buzzers in your room," if you go into labour or your waters break, you need to press the buzzer and there'll be 14 or 15 people in your room. You know, you're in this particular room because it's straight down to the surgery wing. And it was amazing. With that, the midwife who was there giving us all this information was a Christian, and she was able to pray with us. And she stayed after Jason left with Lockie to talk through with me and pray with me more. My girlfriend, who was a theatre nurse, she was on call. And we didn't want to tell people, so the close circle of people that were praying for us, a friend came up and they were monitoring me day and night and monitoring Lily as well. And on the third night, so I was due to have her by Caesar the next day. The night before, just after my girlfriend left, and I said to the nurse, I said, I don't feel very well. I feel like, you know, and basically I was in the start of labour. And they got my doctor and he said, you have to have the baby now. And my girlfriend, who was a theatre nurse on call, she had actually done her shift and she had come in and seen me just before she left. And she said, I'm on call tonight. They said, but you can't go into labour tonight. She'd been home and she was just getting into bed and she got the call that there was an emergency. And she knew it was me because of the description. And she just said to her husband, she said, I've got to go back to work. Just start praying. And he said, why? And he goes, it's Dana, just start praying. I can't tell you anymore. It's Dana, just start praying. And it's amazing how it all happened. She was there. I was freaking out because Jason wasn't there yet, because he'd had to take our son to a friend's place to look after because we have no family here in Toowoomba. And he was running late because Lockie was upset because he was being left with, you know, left in the middle of the night with somebody. And my girlfriend said to the, you know, anaesthetist, how long have we got? Like, she didn't tell me this until after the event. And he said, we've got about another 5 minutes. And she said, okay, if Jason's not here in 5 minutes and you have to start, she said, let me tell her. So she sat with me and she just prayed with me. And there was somebody at the emergency entrance door waiting for Jason, and basically ran him up to theatre. And he got there just before they needed to start. And because of everything, the doctor took more time doing the Caesar because of where she was and the cord presentation that she had. Yeah, my girlfriend said afterwards, she said, you know how lucky you were. She said, you were very close. You know, we could have lost Lily, we could have lost you. So, yeah, second pregnancy miracle, but there were lots of complications.
Oh. Sounds like it. What was it like for you in the middle of all that? How were you feeling, and how was it traumatic? How did you respond in the moment?
I was just numb. I just wanted everything to go okay, but I don't know if I had the faith to. I still don't believe I had the faith that everything was going to be okay. And I worried that it wasn't, but it was.
Mm. And you had other people, as you said before, around you who did have the faith.
So, yeah. And that's the most amazing thing. You're like, I guess my faith was lifted up by them. But if I had to do it myself, I don't think I would have had the faith.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And yet you got through and you're here to tell the story. So if someone's going through a pretty tough time with their pregnancy, what would you tell them now?
That it's okay. It's okay to not feel okay, but make sure you have people around you that can support you and pray for you and encourage you and have the faith for you, because the saying is, it takes a village to raise a baby, but it also takes a village to support you as a mum.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And we tend to do life so much on our own these days. The isolation factor is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. Motherhood's hard. It's not all roses and rainbows. You know, there's days that I sit there and cry and go, I'm such a bad mother. But then, you know, you sort of go, okay, it's okay. I can get through this.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm aware of too, that it just knowing that God is with you in this, even if you feel like you can't quite believe that's true, he is with you in beside and helping you along, even when you can't see that that's what's happening. And so it's good to keep on remembering that, even though it might not feel like it, actually that's what's happening, and that does make a big difference in the end.
Yep, most definitely. It's taken me a long time to acknowledge all that, you know, all I went through with having kids. It's one of those taboo things. That's a problem. Like, people don't like talking about depression and how hard motherhood is, but it's such a common thing that sometimes mothers just think they're doing it on their own, that no one else has been like that. But I'm happy to share my story.
Thanks. That's so great, Dana. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that we feel like we're doing it completely alone and no one else understands what we're going through. But hearing your story reminds me again that we do something really difficult when we're mothers, and sometimes we're put into it without even a second thought, thinking it's going to be roses and rainbows, but actually it's not. And such a wake-up call, and so difficult when you still have to get your head around what it is you're doing, let alone raising a child in the process. So it is a big thing to do.
Yep, for sure.
Yep. Well, so good to talk with you today, Dana, and I really appreciate your honesty and openness. And I hope what you have to say really does bring some camaraderie and some feeling that others aren't alone, because I've heard what you've had to say.
No worries. My pleasure.
Thanks, Dana.
Okay, thanks, Jenny. Okay. Bye. Right,
bye. Thanks for listening to Treasuring Mothers. Be sure to visit treasuringmothers.com to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content.